March, how are you today?
I'm good, I'm good. I'm with this really kind gentleman named Alan Ehrlich. And we're hanging out at Trump's building on Park Avenue that Alan's been here for how many years?
Oh, since before Trump.
Before Trump.
Hi.
Hi, Alan. Nice to meet you. Ian Trottier.
Hey, you ever in Montana?
I am, yes, sir.
Okay, Montana, you're really in the country compared to New York.
Yes, I certainly am. I am surrounded by mountains. Just to my east is a park known as Glacier Park. And to my north is a ski resort known as, the locals call it Big Mountain. It's in the city of Whitefish. And I'm about 45 minutes, Alan, to the border with Canada.
So you're really up north. You're really far north.
I'm pretty far north. It's negative 17 at the moment. About a month ago, it was in the negative 30s. Oh, excuse me, it's not negative 17. It is 17 Fahrenheit. But, Alan, about a month ago, it was negative. It was in the negative 30s.
Well, I'm happy we're in the 50s. Yeah. I'm anxious for spring to come along.
You're anxious for spring, yeah. One of my favorite restaurants in New York, or bites to eat, is Katz's Deli. Katz's Delicatessen. I like to get the the sandwiches there.
Yeah, that's like a dinner, you know, pastrami, corned beef, yeah.
Exactly.
They're downtown. We're uptown now. We're up we're up right by 60th Street.
You're up by 60.
I'm telling Alan about your work. It's such the truth. And he mentioned that he has a family member that also kind of follows rabbit holes.
Yeah, I have a nephew.
A nephew.
He lives in New City, not the city. He lives up in New City. Not New City, in Middletown, rather. It's Middletown.
How much of his time
has
he wasted on these rabbit holes?
So, like?
Oh, look, it's so
heavy. But he's originally from Louisiana. He moved up here about 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
When he comes to the Christmas party, he's in his corner, and, you know,
he talks. He doesn't believe anything with the government. He's anti-government and everything. He's totally everything, you know. He believes the government's out to kill him, you know.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people feel that way these days.
Yeah.
I mean, because of the virus that we had, the COVID, and...
Well, I don't believe that at all, but that's beside the point.
Well, Alan, I started... Yeah. March is talking about a podcast that I started 7 years ago down in Miami, and there was a virus down there called the Zika virus. A good friend of mine... Yeah. Named David Granoff, who was a PR specialist there in New York, asked me to get involved in looking at the local debate at the time. David is originally from Brooklyn, and he was a gay Jew. He's my best friend, and he's passed away since. But the reason I mention this is because I know that March has said that you have a history with Trump and his family. David was so good at what he did that he used to tell me before he passed away in 2020. He used to tell me, he says, Ian, he says, Donald Trump approached me twice, two separate times, for representation for his PR talents and skills. Anna Nicole Smith was one of David's clients at one point, and he says, Ian, I don't mind Donald Trump so much, but I wasn't. I had to reject him. So my understanding is that Donald had approached David twice for representation, PR representation, and David both times rejected him. But speaking of New York, one of David's high school era friends was a guy that joined a band as a drummer, and I met Marky Ramone at the Soho Beach Club in Miami, one of David's friends. But that's how I kind of started the podcast and started doing the interviews, Alan, was because of indirectly because of this guy named David Granoff. So I like to give my history in that regards. I love New York. I think it's a great city.
New York is a great city, but I mean, I don't know what you're doing in 17 degrees.
Well, I managed to get by, yeah.
You spent time in Florida, so I mean, that'll kill the mosquitoes when you're in 17 degrees.
There are not many mosquitoes up here, yeah.
Well, I'm here with Alan at address 502 Park Avenue. That is a Trump building now, but Alan's been here, like I said, for 50 years. When it was, did the Zeckendorf own this building?
Well, I go before that, but it was the Delmonico Hotel, and then Trump bought it in 2002.
Now, I was working with Frank Williams, the architect, of 515 Park Avenue.
I watched that being built, yeah.
And that was built by your former friends.
Will and Arthur Zeckendorf. They shared the floor.
With Alan. So I'm saying the history, Alan has a history that is almost integral with the top developers of New York, in London. So, the building across the street is what, in 2001 when it was built, was the most expensive real estate.
One of the newest buildings, and it was the most expensive.
Now the cost per square foot, I think at that time was $1,100 per square foot in 2001. But the cost per square foot in New York City now is approaching $5,000 a square foot.
Is that true? I don't know.
Or you don't know?
Yeah,
I think that new building that is putting up on 56th Street. You know that one?
55th.
Well, I think it's 55th Street.
54th, 55th. That's the Kushner building.
That's the Kushner building?
Yeah.
Park is there going for $200 billion. That's what I heard yesterday. No, right behind Scotty Hall, like just out.
Oh, no, that's a different building.
Okay. Oh, and it's not so tough.
Yeah, but no.
Yeah, they're going for $200 million then.
Well, there are. The penthouse in the Steinway building is $200 million.
That crazy building?
Yeah.
$200 million?
And they have to be careful because when the wind's blowing, it moves.
That's crazy.
Like a boat.
Yeah. I mean, the slenderness ratio is like 1 to 40 something. I forgot.
Yeah, so walls are pretty thick. Hold
it steady. It is. That is very good. Hey, Ian, your microphone is acting really weird. Can you hear us?
I can hear you just fine, yeah.
I hear a lot of static over here. So anyway, I want to kind of get into a discussion about...
Well, you're a carpenter. We have a mill workshop here in the city.
You've got a workshop there?
Yeah, we have a mill workshop, yeah.
Well, I'd love to take a look at it sometime.
Wait, do you get to New York?
Every so often I get to New York. I used to frequent when I was in Miami. I'd frequent. I was working with a guy, Cohen, that would go to New York often. I'm familiar with Carnegie Hall and Central Park a little bit, so I'm familiar with your city somewhat.
Well, Miami is closer to New York than Montana.
Yeah. I like New York a lot. I like going into the various nooks and crannies that New York has to offer. Alan, I lived in San Francisco as well I never lived in New York, but I lived in San Francisco, apart from Montana, for about 8 years, and love that city as well. San Francisco is a great city.
Yeah, but it's a popular city. Both are expensive.
Both are very expensive. San Francisco's got incredible views. That's what I like about that city, is there's the cable cars going up the hills, and then the top of the hills, yep. And down the hills, there's views of the bay and the islands in the bay.
I did some building in San Francisco and in L.A. years ago. I had a customer here in New York that we did a store for. And he opened up a chain of stores. And he took us to L.A. to Rodeo Drive, which I built a store. And one in San Francisco, yes.
What building did you? What building in San Francisco, Alan?
It was right at the square at the beginning. What was it called? I think it was called. I'm going back a number of years.
Union Square.
Union Square, right off Union Square.
There's actually
It was a jewelry chain, and we did the. He made phony jewelry. In other words, he did these phony stones. And is 1.0, the operation.
There's a, are you familiar with the Bechtel Corporation?
Of course, Bechtel, everyone's familiar.
Anyway, so there's architecture in San Francisco. There's a great Frank Lloyd Wright building right off of Union Square as well. Maiden Lane, I think it is. It's on Maiden Lane. But a friend of mine used to do. I had a small valet parking business selling, and I sold the. Well, I sold the name of the parking business to Imperial Parking, and now in New York City, there are garages with the name of the company that I started called iPark. And one of my iPark, again, I sold the name to Imperial Parking. Billy Lerner is the guy that owns that company. So the garages in New York that he used to run are now converted to iPark garages. But when I used to run that small iPark business in San Francisco, one of my clients was in Piedmont, California, and her husband worked was a VP, I think it was, for Bechtel. That's how I got familiar with the name Bechtel, and he was also, I believe, a member of the Bohemian Grove. If you're familiar with that organization.
No, not at all. Hey, Ian, if you could just kind of divert the conversation away from that for a moment, I'd just like to talk about where we are and the work that Alan has done for Trump. He did this is the 502 Park, and you did the lobby of the building?
Yeah, I designed the building. Yeah.
You designed it too?
Yeah.
And you have a funny story about the gold on the ceiling.
Yeah.
And can you tell that story? It's a hilarious story, Ian. You love this.
Okay.
He was in the office here, and he said, "Look downstairs." Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't know what that was. Some sort of an alarm. Is that March's phone?
Yes, Alan.
Okay. Anyway, so he says to me, come down and...
This is Trump. No,
come down and take a look what I'm doing to the ceiling. So he says to me, there's a guy on the ladder, he's testing some antique gold on the ceiling. And I said to him, for a couple of pennies more, you get real gold, and not that stuff that's going to darken on you. That metal foil. So he says, "What are you talking about? I use more gold than anyone else in the world. I know better than anyone else. No one uses more gold than me. And this is the best stuff you can buy." And then he turns around to the guy on the scaffold. He says, "What is that stuff you're putting on there?" He says, "Metal foil." He turns around to me and he says, "Oh, good enough. That's it." And he walks away. The next day he called me up. He says, "Alan, would you take care of the ceiling?"
And the name of that person was who?
It's a funny story because they did it at the plaza. When he owned the plaza, there's a horse outside. You know, the man on the
horse. Yeah, horse. Sherman horse.
That's right. Sherman, yeah. So what they did is they made it with metal. They did it with metal foil, and when it was done, it would knock your eyes out. It was so shiny. And 2 years later, it was black.
Oh, black.
You know, it turned black. He knows the difference. He knows the difference.
Oh, see that. So, when did you meet Trump?
Oh, I know. Yes, he was friends of mine.
Do you remember where you met?
Oh, yes, I remember where I met him. I did Tiffany's office when Tiffany sold, when Hoving sold Tiffany. And he was building the Trump Tower. He was building the Trump Tower back that far.
Wow.
And he had an office across the street in the building. And I moved Tiffany to the same floor as him in another area of the building. The Hovings and Mary Ellen or something like that. Hoving, she liked her office. We did her office, and Trump was just moving in there because we were building Trump Tower. So she said, "You know, I'm going to introduce you to Trump because he needs someone to work in his place." You know, doing interior.
What year was this?
Oh, I couldn't even venture to guess. How old is Trump Tower? When they started Trump Tower?
That's the 80s, right?
Oh, well, it had to be in the 80s.
When did he buy the land for Trump Tower?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't remember the dates.
You remember what was there before?
Trump Tower was a fantastic building, though.
Yeah. No, I bet. Well, I mean, Prince Day was a
fantastic building. Right, Prince Day.
Today
right.
It's not, but Prince
no,
Day.
The Atrium Space, you couldn't get away with that. I mean, y'all don't need the code permit. You need to build that.
Yeah.
That thousand in there. There's a creative zoning problem there. I mean,
that was when he was building it. I'm going back. I'm in this construction business for almost 50 years. So, I mean, you're talking about a long time.
Now, you would go to polo matches with Trump because you used to play.
No, I was a polo player, but I used to go to the tennis matches with him.
Oh, really?
He always had a box. He always had a box at the tennis open. You know, at
Did you know Ivanka or?
Yeah, Ivanka used to go there.
And you know Mala? You know Mala too?
I met Mala at Trump Tower.
Oh, really?
She was really a gorgeous, gorgeous woman.
Really?
Yeah. That's where I met Mala at Trump Tower.
Trump Tower is inaugurated in 1983. And Alan, had you met Donald's father? How close did you got? Had you ever met his father?
No, I've never met his father. And I'll tell you something. I was up at the office all the time. You know, we used to speak almost every day. And I never met Weisselberg, you know, like the guy that's the controller or anything else. But I knew everyone else in the organization, I think.
Does Weisselberg live here, too?
No, he lives
And politically speaking, Trump voted as a Democrat. Isn't that right, Alan?
Well, not only the funny part of it is that Don Jr. and Ivanka could not vote in the Democratic in the Republican primary because they were not registered Republicans.
Wow.
That's funny. So why do you think there's so much hatred towards Trump?
Why? His personality, his attitude.
What kind of attitude is it?
Oh, yeah, he can be obnoxious, you know that.
Oh.
And he makes fun of different people. I always had fun with him because I thought he was funny, but it wasn't vicious, and it wasn't on TV, it wasn't anything else. But he was the same way he is now, but he would laugh a lot. But when he's doing it politically, it's not so fun.
He hurts people's feelings, right?
Well, the game is how fast can you smear the other guy? You know what I mean? And, I mean, it's a dirty world, just small politics. But it's become a little bit nastier now with the way you see how they're persecuting him. It's pretty obnoxious. You know,
he persecutes a lot of people.
Okay, so he says mean things about
everyone.
So, let's see, Schiff's neck, okay? The Schiff guy, now, look, can you look at that guy and say that all his marbles are there? I mean, for
I think so. He's a smart man.
He has an agenda to hurt others.
He's a smart lawyer. No, Schiff is a smart lawyer.
I don't know. I mean, is San Francisco one of his districts?
Yeah, he's a California guy.
Okay. So, what's wrong with California? Why is that? Why is everyone moving to Tennessee out of California?
Oh, California. Everyone's moving out of New York, moving out of California because of taxes. That's the whole reason.
Okay.
Expenses.
Okay. So, the taxes. So, I mean, you think taxes are fair on small business because you're a small business man?
No, I don't think taxes are fair. I don't think any kind of tax is fair. I mean, you're talking about paying a 9% sales tax, you know, almost 9% here in the city. I mean, on everything you buy, that's 10% of your income on everything you're living on.
And then the cost of living is higher.
Not at all.
do you think the lawsuits that he's proposing are going to hurt?
Is it an act? Yeah, is it an act? Alan, is you know Trump for a few decades. Do you think this is an act?
Oh, no question about it. No question about it. I mean, look, anyone that was born and bred in New York he's changed his attitudes completely just to get the evangelical and the conservative, vote. There's no question about it.
Is that offensive to you that he would say that he would call himself a Christian? And that he would...
He is a Christian. Why would I feel that?
It doesn't offend you. But I'm just saying, is it offensive to you that he would brand his event, the evangelical, brand himself as a Christian to achieve evangelical
I have... Look, he's a Christian. He's allowed to be a Christian. But he's a little bit... He's trying to be a little bit too conservative. That's all. You know, that's all. I mean, in my thing, I'm a liberal. So, I mean, I don't...
But why is it that the liberals are okay with Letitia James and this, you know, that crazy woman, Carol Willis? $83 million because, you know, he likes women? That's corrupting the legal system, whether they're pursuing
him. No, I think that they're doing what he... Look, the telephone...
$355 million fine? Can you get parking?
That's not New York. That's New York. $355 million. That's not Atlanta.
George.
No, that's New York.
I went to the Fannie Willis case, by the way. I saw her. Yeah. I saw Nathan Wade. I saw Jane Ellis.
Okay.
In the courtroom in Georgia. I made some drawings of them with my company called the CIA Society. Which is basically a caricature portrait of people. So I'm having fun with this brand.
Well, you know how he called the Secretary of State about the election. So, I mean, everyone knows that.
What's wrong with asking questions about...
He didn't ask questions.
Yeah, he said, what can you give me some votes? What is that?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
It's not legal.
Why is it not legal to ask? Is this a fair election or not? Why?
It's not legal.
What's not legal about asking about a fair election?
No, asking for votes.
He didn't ask for votes. He said, get me some of the
votes.
He's supposed to be a Republican.
This was afterwards.
I don't see this. He asked questions. He said, are you sure you counted the votes right?
Well, that he can do, but he can't tell him to find votes.
He said, can you look for the votes
He said, find votes.
Find the votes?
It wasn't a crooked election. It was an election. Those people said so.
Alan, 2 million people showed up in Washington, D.C. Yeah. I was one when he had.
You're part of the cult.
It's part of asking legitimate questions.
Yeah, but you're part of the cult. This is the end.
All right, let's talk about cults. What defines a cult?
This whole thing with this rigged election business. You know, he's got.
Can we ask questions? Why are there patriots?
They can ask all questions.
Why? The people that were in Washington were patriots.
Yes, they were.
2 million.
They meant well because they believed everything he said.
Well, okay. Giuliani was on stage there and did a very good performance.
Believed everything that everyone believed everything that Giuliani said and what Trump said.
Right. So there was no violence. The people that they went there didn't bring guns. The only one that was taking place.
There were a lot of guns there.
They left him in the car.
They left him in the street.
So
they carried guns into the rally also, but that's beside the point.
Probably had a permit from the NLTs. I don't know. They didn't take to the Capitol Hill. There were
a lot of guns there.
There were guns with the cops that were orchestrating the entrapment.
When it was over, yes.
But when the peaceful announcement got cut off,
No, he said he had a fight like that.
He said he had to fight like hell. That's what we're doing here. It's cultural war, you know. So
I don't know if it's cultural war. Whatever the story is, there's going to be an election. You know, the people, they like an animated election, and they like an emotional election. And he's very emotional with the election, and Biden is very calm.
I'm sorry. Wouldn't you be a little emotional if you had to pay $355 million fine?
The Washington, that's New York.
Okay, why does he have to pay $500?
I never heard of paying $130,000 for a hooker ride.
$130,000, I got it. Because he's a celebrity, right? that's a lot of money, right? But $385 million, where there's no big deal. The banks are well paid. Banks are going to do business. That's called political persecution.
They weren't well. It's not political persecution. When you claim you're worth $10 billion.
Now, okay, let's talk about the law, the justice. What is New York citizens getting out of this insane
nothing.
Political? You know, this,
money. That's all.
It's fascism. It's full on fascism. Liberals are fascists. That's what happened in Germany.
Well, I don't know. I think they're gonna lower the amounts. There's no question about it.
They're gonna lower the appeal. Yeah. So he has to. Why is he even going through this? It's called election.
Because the judge? No, it's not.
Russia has something to do with X key score that this John Donovan of the FBI was speaking about.
In other words, the only thing that we're trying to say, which is the truth, is Russia would like to see Trump as president.
No, they wouldn't. Russia likes Biden as president because
they were the ones that they were feeding, you know, this whole thing. The guy that just got arrested, he was getting his information from Russians, and that's why he was arrested. Okay, he was spreading lies, and he was getting his information from the Russians, and he admits it. That's all he said. He got it from Russian intelligence. That's it.
So Don Jr. worked here for as his first.
He didn't work there, but you know, Don Jr. hated his father.
Really?
His father was. Well, it's logical. He didn't realize that until he told me. He was married to, you know, Ivanka.
Huh?
Ivanka raised the kids.
Oh, I.
Then he left her for Marla Maples.
Oh, right.
And who raised the kids? They were little.
Right.
Was his wife. And his wife didn't like that breakup. So when Don finished college, he came here right in his office, right from college. And his father, this was his first job with his father. This building, it was 2002. No, the whole building. He was part of the condo. So he spent most of his time, he didn't work for me, but he spent most of his time in his office.
Because
the building was being demolished.
Oh, I got you. You had the office.
Yeah.
I got you. Oh, that's so cool.
And that's why he told me that. He hated his father like a passion when they got divorced.
Oh, that's true.
You know, that's how it was. But that changed.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean,
he has to be a good family. I've been in the office when he's talking to the kids and everything else. He was a good family. He would have movie night with the kids and he would do things with the kids. You know, I mean, that's he was a good family man. But his ex-wife hated him at the beginning.
Oh.
And who raised the kids but the ex-wife?
Right. What was Eric like? Your man?
I'm not friendly with Eric. Eric was younger.
Okay.
What about Tiffany?
You told me about one who...
I don't know Tiffany because she went to California. You know, I mean, she went... Marla Maples was here, but then she went to California.
What about... you said that you went to go with his wife's name or
Melania?
Melania.
She was the nicest woman. She is the nicest woman.
Yeah. And you would have a conversation with her at tennis matches, right?
We always talk, yeah.
But Trump was always about
himself. Well, her sister lives in the building, too.
His sister lives here?
Yeah.
In this building?
Yeah.
Wow. Are Jared and Ivanka still here, too?
Who?
Jared and Ivanka still here?
Yeah, they still have the apartment. They come up once a month.
Really?
Yeah, for a day or two. Yeah.
You ever see him?
Yeah.
You did?
She gave Rocky a big kiss. Jared is a piece of shit because he's now so important he doesn't talk to anybody.
Really?
He's even too important for himself.
One of the things that I found interesting, Alan, and I think, March, you may know this, is that when I was living in Miami in 2015, I'd gone to Doral because Trump was investigating a run at a candidacy for president. So he wasn't officially a president. And he said to the crowd, he said, if I run for president, I'll do so as an independent and self-financed. And that's one of the things that caught my interest in Donald Trump. I didn't know much about him. I mean, I knew he sold his ties and he built buildings, so some of these different things. And I knew he had his TV show. But that was one of the things that caught my interest personally is because I had voted for Ross Perot. I think I was just in high school or right out of high school. I'd voted for Ross Perot because I felt America needed an independent thinker that wasn't really aligned to any super PAC or large money. So one of the things that I thought that dawned on me was a few months later, he declared candidacy, but then he joined the GOP. And I remember listening and saying, hey, wait a second. He said if he ran for president, he'd be independent and self-financed. So my understanding, and this is kind of coinciding into what we said earlier about perhaps he's putting on an act or some of these policies that he's supporting or an act. You're a person that has known him for a few decades personally. Is it possible in your view, knowing Donald Trump, the person, Alan, that there are people above him that are telling him what to do and or he is compromised or subservient to some deal to GOP?
I don't believe that. No, I think that he's his own thinker and he knows what he has to do in order to beat the system. And he's beating the system. You know, that's how he became president, by beating the system. And he's a smart guy. He's one of the smartest men I ever met. I'm not talking about scholastically, but he's a real street smart guy.
Excellent to hear. Okay, so let me go into this. March, you can talk about this as well. One of the things that I like to talk about is regardless of administration, whether it's left or right, the country continues to spiral into this abyss, this abysmal abyss with the dollar highly inflated and in just racketing up this massive $34 trillion debt. What do you make of that, Alan?
I don't think it means anything. Why don't we drill for oil? Yeah. Well, why don't we drill more oil now than we ever have? We're totally oil independent.
No, we're not.
Totally oil independent. Totally oil independent. Totally oil independent.
Are we?
We're the largest oil producer in the world.
We're not producing it now. Why is that so expensive?
We're the largest.
Why is it so expensive?
Because the cartel makes the
price. Which cartel?
The Saudi Arabia.
Saudi
Arabia.
So they're
oil. I looked this morning. Oil was $77 a barrel. Okay, it's been up. It's been up to 120 at one time, but it's 77 today. It's a little bit high, but it's been in the 70s.
So we lose.
No long. It's no longer. No, but we don't make the price. We don't make the price.
That's done. Okay. Is it a price in dollars?
OPEC makes the price in dollars.
So,
when the price of oil
is not in dollars anymore, what's going to happen to the United States economy?
Well, it's in dollars.
Hey, but if it's not in dollars, what's going to
happen to the dollar? It's fictitious already. But everything is just dollars. Gold is in dollars, oil is in dollars, everything, all the mineral rights are in dollars. Gold is also, if gold goes into another
country. What's the largest supply? What's the largest supply?
America.
No, it's not.
What is it?
I think it's China right now.
China's number two. We're not. It used to be Japan, but now it's America, China, and Japan.
Okay. So, how many people live in America? 300 million, right?
330 or something.
Now we got another 20 million that came in. You know, that's.
Yeah.
George Washington Plunkett, right? You know this story? George Washington Plunkett.
No, never heard of
him. You ever heard of him? He's a New York story. Remember the Irish came here in 1915?
Yeah.
Well, George Washington Plunkett was the height of the Tammany Hall. You remember Tammany Hall?
Yeah.
But you heard it. You probably won't remember.
Yeah, but it's in my day, believe it. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
You heard of Tammany Hall? I mean, you weren't experienced anyway.
No, I was a kid.
But it was a racket.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a Democratic.
Well, it was a New York. It was New York politics.
It is New York politics, which is, you can say that, wasn't it a Democratic regime, kind of, in a way?
No, it wasn't a Democratic regime. It was didn't even pay attention to parties.
They hardly did, right? It was just into itself. Well, okay, but that's just a story, right? But Plunkett was one of those guys that explained the story, the whole Tammany Hall. He would tell it to a shoe shot shot down. Oh. The story was reported about a shoe shot down. And I think Plunkett was the man that sort of exposed Tammany Hall in some ways.
Oh, no, it was not.
Everybody knew what was going on. So I think that's what the American public is seeing now. They see political persecution of Trump. They see.
I don't see any political persecution of Trump. It'll be his. That fine will be brought down, I'm guessing.
Okay.
Although this judge wrote it, so it shouldn't be brought down, but it will.
And that Fannie Willis will be dismissed because she's corrupt.
I don't think she's corrupt.
How much is Fannie Willis worth? She makes $110,000 a year.
Is that what she made? I have no idea.
Yeah, her salary is $110,000
a year. Yeah, I have no idea.
How much is she worth?
I don't know.
But I know she's worth at least $8 million. How much is Letitia James worth?
I have no idea.
She's worth $16 million.
Oh, I don't believe any of that.
Where do these people get the money now?
They don't have any money. They all retire.
That's how much is Fannie Willis. I mean, Letitia James worth is $16 million. Where did she get all that money?
I can't believe she's worth that much. I can't believe she's worth $16 million. I mean, you're coming up with these figures.
No, that's true. You know that's from. I'm telling you this. I know that to be true.
Well, the IRS should get her.
Well, for what?
You think she's paying tax on it?
I think she's probably paying tax on it because but someone's giving it to her for her political campaign.
Oh, I don't believe that.
And she's politically campaigning on dead Trump.
Yes, that's
called political persecution. That's not legal.
No, because she only got him on the
politically
she only got him on the legality.
What legality?
What
they made up with a corrupt judge?
I don't know if the judge is. It's an old-time judge.
He's an old-time corrupt.
No,
he's fucking money too.
No, he's an old-time judge. He's an old-time judge.
These people are not.
You know why he got the fine?
You know why he got the fine?
Because he was insulting the judge's people. You know, you gotta be a nice guy sometimes. Sometimes you gotta be a nice guy. If you're looking for. If you're looking to get away with something.
What's he getting away with? There's no victim. I mean, it's the same. He
broke the law.
What? The law is corrupt. You can't see that?
That's written in the books. It's an old book. Not
what law? And you don't go against the regime?
It's all written up. You gotta read the.
Biden is an idiot puppet moron.
It's not Biden.
He can't even finish his sentence.
It's nothing to do with Biden. This is New York State.
It is a legal cult. It's a corrupt cult.
These are old laws.
These are liberal Jews, mostly, that are running the media, running the real estate industry, that
not
can't stand it.
Not Jewish. Neither is New York State.
We're talking Anthony Blinken. We're talking Victoria Nuland. We're talking about Muslim Brennan. That's what we're talking about. Running this whole damn corrupt scheme.
Brennan is not Jewish. Neither are
he's a Muslim. He's a converted Muslim. He's a whack job.
But, I mean, it's not true.
What's not true?
It's not true.
What's not
if
true?
If you break the law, you gotta do the time. That's it.
The law is corrupt. Fannie Willis is corrupt. She's paying her boyfriend lying to the court. She's gonna get his bar.
She never wanted the boyfriend to do it. She tried.
Never wanted what?
It was the people refused the job.
She's laundering our tax dollars.
Alan, do you see a difference in New York City with the open border policy that the current administration has?
Yeah.
What are some of the differences you see?
Beautiful girl with blue eyes, red hair, from Germany. Bavarian. And I was like,
Dickie.
I had a conversation with her. I was like, what is going on with Germany? Where are they headed next? And she said, Germany is on path to communism.
Oh, exactly.
That's what she said, right? Yeah.
Not true. Okay, she's perfect.
Okay, let's talk about Canada. We met some Canadians. They're like, their vote, what they say, doesn't matter anymore. They're censored. The bank accounts are raided by their prime minister. They can't get rid of that guy. And that is like, oh, well,
why are they voting for him?
They don't vote for him. It's all rage. It's like, what they say, right, Ian?
I don't know if the Canadian voter system has been rigged. I am suspicious of the 2022 voting system. There's a book that I reference called Vote Scam: Stealing of America. It was written about 15 years ago, and what it's done is it integrates technology such as IBM with mainstream media running through the Council on Foreign Relations. And these two brothers, the Collier brothers, they wrote this book out of Miami. They assert that the election for the U.S. president, that system itself has been rigged back to LBJ. And in so much. Well, they're basically appointed. Yeah, they're appointed. Not necessarily voted, but they're appointed. Yeah, LBJ, right, exactly, yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's something as well that strikes my curiosity. There's a woman, Alan, named Maria Zach. And Maria Zach is an investigative researcher, basically. But she uncovered the satellite angle with the voting system of the 22 election. And she says the Leonardo satellite, which is Italian-owned, was running through a German processing center. So from the U.S., the votes got sent over to Germany, and it was manipulated by this Italian.
That's a wife tale. It proved that, you know, that was Giuliani's to do with this guy from the thing. But it was all bullshit. They got the machines. I mean, they looked at the machines. They looked at everything. The machines got all real. They said it was perfect.
Real dude.
Real person.
He's a very honest person.
I don't know about that.
Extremely hard. Let me tell you how I know, to be honest, first.
He's a big.
Why would you just call him a big?
Because he is a big.
What is the definition of a big?
He's an anti-everything.
He pursues
super conservative.
Ian has a program. It's called Recession the Truth. The truth, sometimes, you have to work to get at it. You know what I mean?
You always have to work.
But it's not always flattering to everyone, the truth. You know, an ugly girl, she doesn't want to hear the truth. You know what I mean?
So, we're all going to hear the truth. What's wrong with that?
I think everyone's pretty, and even the people that are, the majority would think is unattractive. You can find beauty in everything. You know? So, you know, that's the truth.
What about beautiful? That's my door.
But, you know,
you got a Yorkie. It looks like you got a Yorkie. Very cute Yorkie.
Yeah, he's an awesome dog. And so,
this is my fun.
What's his name?
His name is Bentley.
Bentley.
Okay. Now, one reason why I say Tucker Carlson is a truthful seeker is when I met him, he and I have a friend in common named John Meacham that I went to high school with. John Meacham is brand new to me, into the ground. Yeah. Yeah, he was an editor in chief.
Yeah.
And he was a guy that I knew, kind of a little runty guy with small hands in high school. And we became friends after War II. We never met. He called me in New York a couple times and said, let's get lunch one day.
Yeah.
We never got lunch.
Okay.
He lived about 6 blocks from me on the Upper East Side. I met him one time at the 92 Y. He was interviewing David Brooks.
And I think Tucker likes to fly fish in Montana.
Yeah, but let me tell you a story about Tucker.
Fine.
And John Meacham. Because I went to go meet John Meacham and with a book of his that he had written that was a Pulitzer Prize winning book, I think about Franklin Winston. And he wrote it and he signed it. And then he said to me, where do you live with that tone? This is my high school friend.
Yeah.
Where do you live? Like that. You know, let me repeat that. Where do you live? Like that. Like almost like an East Tennessee accent. So then I said, well, I live about 4 blocks from you, John, on the Upper East Side, on East 74 between 2nd and 3rd. And you know what John said to me? You live over there. You know, not on Fifth Avenue, Madison. You live over there. That's John
Meacham. Yeah.
So, Tucker calls to my and he goes, where do you live? Because I said, New York, and I was, you know, I live in Chattanooga, and I told him Upper East Side. And I said, near John Meacham. And then you know what Tucker calls to say? He goes, I know John Meacham. And I go, wow, yeah. And I go, we went to high school together. And then Tucker calls to you, and he said to me, you went to Macaulay, just kind of famous, it's like Exeter's high school in the South. Well, John Meacham and I went together at the same level. We're all the same age, by the way, 54. So, and then you know what Tucker Carlson said to me? John Meacham is kind of an asshole. That's true, probably. Then I said, you got that right. You know what I mean? So, that was cool.
Yeah, you know something? I used to say that Donald Trump never lied. He never lied. I don't think he ever lied. One day he says to me, when I'm doing this, he says to me, don't do Bedminster with the architect. He sent me to Bedminster with the architect.
Wow. There's a club over there.
Yeah, sure. He said, I want you to build the clubhouse. I said, it's a little too far for me. He says to me, I'll give you free membership. I said, what's that worth? He says, $350,000. I said, you just made that up. He said, you're right.
But you said one time you had a ceiling to get paid.
This man, for that.
Oh, it's so the lobby of this building?
I never seen.
Oh, I mean, I've seen.
Okay, what I did is.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's not him.
It's lean, right?
But I put a
lien on the building because the last payment you got to wait for. So he gives me a call like 2 months later. He said, Alan, what is this? You put a lien on my building. I said, Donald, what is this? You didn't pay me. He laughed. He says, come over to your office tomorrow. I said, okay, I'll be over there tomorrow. 3 o'clock from now, I walked over.
Do you think he'll be the next president?
He may be.
Do you think the people that are so corrupt hate so much? Let's think about this. Because when I was at CPAC, I was interviewed by a man from Scandinavia. He was a Scandinavian reporter. And you know what he said to me?
No.
Man, let me tell you what he said to me. He said, what are you going to do if they cheat again? And Trump does not win the election.
Well, he's got that.
A lot of people around the world are predicting civil war.
Well, they don't have guns. Well, let me ask this question. I want Alan to respond to this, because if we go back to the theatric angle, right? So I don't know if you want to, it might be the cult angle. Trump spent 4 years kind of talking about deep state and fake news. And those changed the social dynamics from coast to coast. There's no doubt about it. But is there any truth behind that, Alan, in your view? What does he mean by deep state? What does that mean? And what does he mean by fake news?
Well, anyone that disagrees with him is fake news. Anyone, and deep state is because he didn't like the way things, there's bullshit in deep state, there's bullshit in fake news. There is some real news, and there is no real deep state.
That's not true.
You know something?
He ran
a company called the Trump Organization. The Trump Organization, he was king. Everything he said went as fact. There was never a question on anything he said. No one in the world could contradict him. And I was up in that office so often. I mean, he had, when you got off the elevator, you got into the reception room. The reception area, he used to use model agencies for receptions. You walked into that office and had the prettiest girl you ever want to see. Tall, lanky, gorgeous girls. His office was right behind the next wall behind that. The amount of verbiage that came out of that office and the curse words and everything else that came out of that office, he was king. Anyone would contradict him, they were instant. You know what I mean? There was a... Then he came to be President of the United States. President of the United States, people don't listen to him the same way. You know, people don't react to him the same way as when he's the boss, you know, in his own company. So then he created a deep state. And, of course, if the news contradicted him, they were wrong, too. So there's fake news and there's deep state. It's all bullshit. I mean, you know, in real life, there's give and take, and there's a matter of opinion. And that's it. He doesn't believe in that. Do you know something? When I did, for example, this job over here, they gave me a 40-page contract. Okay? Now, I wasn't the general contractor of the building, but we were in this office here, right here. He was sitting in that couch over there. And he says to me, Alan, you're going to do the lobby for me. So I said, okay. So he called the guy and said,
work off. It's a beautiful lobby, by the way. Really?
It was at the other end. He says, Alan's going to do the lobby.
What's the wood up there? It's
Mahogany. Yeah. So he says, Alan's going to do the lobby. So 2 days later, I get a 40-page contract. I start looking at it. I said, fuck this, I'm not going to sign this contract. And I put void on every page. And I said,
That's a sentient deposit. You know, so it works. Okay? They would never go back to him and tell him that Alan wouldn't sign the contract, because that would be contradicting. No one would ever go back. No one would ever contradict him.
Have you ever heard of the name Victoria Newland? You never heard of Victoria? Well, she lives over here next to Council Forum Relations on 60, I think 69, no, 68.
Yeah.
Not far from where we've got the process yet.
Yeah.
You know, I forgot. We were in the town.
We did one on 67th Street together.
67th Street, yeah, in an apartment. But the, that was a beautiful marble bathroom. Yeah. I remember the white marble. Alan puts in down this white marble in this, most of the apartments in this building, 502 Park, I correct you. Had Alan's footprint. He puts down whole sheets of white marble in mostly or bronze or whatever stone that clients prefer to use. That takes up the whole floor. There's no seams. It's really pretty detailed. But the is that hard to do, by the way?
Yeah, it's much more. It's a lot harder.
It's a lot harder to do. So, well, Victoria Newland is a woman that is the assistant secretary of Antony Blinken. Antony Blinken is the secretary of defense. Victoria Newland is known.
Secretary of State.
Huh?
Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Secretary of State. Victoria Newland was around Bush administration. You remember the gentleman that ran in New York City for a while? He was Robert Moses, right?
Of course.
And he was not the mayor.
No, he was a city planner.
He was a city, well, he was like a park planner.
He was a planner, yeah.
He was a park department chair.
No, he also did a lot of buildings.
He did everything. He built more than anybody in the land. But he was deep state. That's what deep state is.
Okay.
He elected mayors, elected governors.
He was how? That's how many more.
That's like Daniel. That's who Victoria Newland is with the CIA.
That I know.
Have you heard of the weapons of mass destruction?
I've heard of it.
Okay. She created that. Remember when it was called? When we went to war with Iraq.
Yeah.
Now that was Bush that went to war with Iraq.
Yeah.
Bush is deep state. Very famous. They have some conversations and say that the former director of the CIA, Bush Sr., had something to do with the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy, or John F. Kennedy.
Oh, wow.
That's a conspiracy, but it might be real. Who knows?
Anything could happen, but I don't.
Why don't we know the truth of who killed Kennedy? Oh,
well, we supposedly know, but.
Hey, who was that? Who did that?
Well, here's March. You're talking about Kennedy and Alan. You know, at the, what was it, the press club. That's when he said he wanted to splinter the CIA into 1,000 pieces. You know, perhaps the CIA is the deep state.
That's what we're talking about here.
Nah, I don't believe it.
Well, then, okay. Didn't we run into a guy in Washington, John Donovan, that talked about a book that all public records he put together on Brennan, right?
Yeah. X key score, okay. Edward Snowden.
What's the X key score you talk about? What is it? What does that mean? I don't understand.
Well, X key score is the NSA program that monitors traffic, and when the CIA is bringing in a hit or someone of importance, and they want them off the radar, they can deposit that data in an area of X key score to keep that person off the grid. Now, John Donovan, as an FBI agent or analyst, a former analyst, because he was working with a private contractor at the time, somehow caught the attention of one of these FBI bombers being flown in with the CIA aware of it. And Brennan knew of it, and Brennan cashed in to the tune of something like $4 million because he owned shares in the company that was owning the data, the software for the database that was being deposited. And the X key score with the NSA. That's the best of my understanding. So basically,
okay,
and he's.
Okay, Al, hey, we don't need to go on and on about the details here. We just want to, like, more and more people in this nation are seeing that there's a deep state.
I'm not aware of
it. So let's just talk about
why do we have no borders in our country, but we have to protect the Ukrainian borders? That's called deep state money laundering. And why are we building
this? I don't want another country to take over
Ukraine. But why are we, why does Ukraine have so many biological weapon labs? Why?
I didn't know that.
Well, that's what Victoria Nuland told us not very long ago, that, that yes, we have built biological weapon lab.
I never even knew they had the largest the nuclear plant. I mean, I didn't even know that they had a subway. Yes. I never knew a lot of that stuff. Well, okay, I got to get some work done.
Okay. All right, see you later.
Thank you very much, Alan. Thank you.
All right, talk to you. Bye.